You need to go now.
You have questions, I can tell.
Who?
You get three.
Why only three?
Okay, that was your first question.
What? I don't understand what's happening.
This is the beginning of your story. Your family is very powerful. Your mother used her magic to save you. Find your father's armor. It's the only thing that can protect you.
Many years ago, I was cursed. This great adventure is my destiny.
Your magic is growing stronger. You need to learn control.
If you must blink, do it now, because Kubo and the Two Strings is finally out for everyone to view with their eyes of amazement, because like I said, talking about Kubo and the Two Strings, and this is from my favorite studio, Leica, who does the stop motion animation, which I love that format of animation so goddamn much. And I love their films, Coraline, Paranorman, not so much Box Trolls, but and we'll see if I love this one just as much as I love Coraline and Paranorman, to be honest. You know, one other thing I like about Leica, too, is that they always get these... They usually get first-time directors, except for Coraline. Obviously, they had the guy that did The Nightmare Before Christmas and stuff like that. But since then, they've been known to get first-time directors to do these films, which sometimes always feels like, I don't know, they're missing a few things from their films or whatever. But then when they do something really great, you go like, wow, this came from a first-time director. And the first-time director here is Travis Knight. He did Kubo, which is a young boy. He has to locate... Go ahead and give a plot synopsis here. So he's living with his mother in a cave after he was a baby and she kind of swam the seas with him on a boat, obviously. Only to know that she got injured really bad, too. It opened up with this. I was like, holy shit. I was like, damn. Because the water knocks her down off her boat and stuff like that. And she hits the ground hard. She washes up on sea and her face is like cracked up on one side and stuff. We fast forward a couple of years later. I don't really know how many years later. Kubo is kind of I would say maybe 10 years old probably. And we notice that his mother, she really doesn't talk that much or anything like that. You know, she's almost like in a catatonic state right there. And I was wondering, oh, it was because of the injuries, and she kind of slips in and out. And it was kind of, I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of depressed watching that. I was just like, oh, she looked like she's dying pretty much. I was like, so one of the rules of his thing is, because we found out, you know, his grandfather took his eye, because his grandfather is the Moon King. And the Moon King is pretty goddamn evil and omnipotent. And he's running the pretty much around with his mother's two sisters, so his aunties. And they're searching for Kubo because they want his other eye. His grandfather took his left eye, I believe. Took his left eye. Only told us to find out why, which I was assuming just because Kubo was powerful. But then we later find out in the film is just because his grandfather, the Moon King, wants him to see the world as he see it and not look in anyone's soul and see the goodness and creation and life and stuff like that. He wants his grandson to be as evil and blinded as he is to the world. And the rule is he can't go out at night because clearly the Moon King sees everything at night, obviously. One day Kubo kind of fucks that up because, you know, he's wondering about his father more so and what kind of a man he was. And the only thing he knows about him is that he died giving his life to protect Kubo and his mother to get free against the Moon King and stuff like that. And, you know, obviously he went to doing something. It's a ritual that they do in Chinese culture. Asian culture that they do where, you know, they send little, you know, candles out of lamps to guide the spirits home to the spirit world so they don't have to roam the world, you know, confused and alone anymore. He does that for his father, but it doesn't work out. It turns out dark time. The next thing you know it, these creepy-ass aunties of him's fine, voiced by Rooney Mara, of course. And Kubo is voiced by, what's the kid's name? Art Parkinson, who did a really good job, I must say. And Rooney Mara is doing both the twins. And this looked like some shit out of The Damn Shining or something like that. These two little girls came out. I was like, holy shit. The imagery here was just creepy as fuck. I'm not going to lie. I was like, and the color palette was all dark. And at least in this scene, it gets colorful in the rest of the movie. But in this scene, they really know how to amp up the darkness of this shit here. And next thing you know it, his mother shows up when these sisters just way laced to this tent, this little village they have here. Mother shows up, tells Kubo, hey, you get out of here. Gives a little bit of her magic to him to fly away. He gets the hell up out of there, and you just see her mother hands light up blue, and they show you from a ceiling shot of this too. Her sister's hands light up like a dark yellow or whatever, and next thing they just run into each other, and you just best to believe that I'm taking it the mother didn't survive that clearly, because well, there's two against one. Well, first of all, even though she's probably more powerful than both of them, but she's kind of in a weakened state right now, so she probably died. Next, you know, Kubo wakes up, and one of his charm he had, which was a monkey, who the mother always said keep close to him, is brought to life, and the monkey explains that, voiced by Charlize Theron, who's fucking amazing. Charlize Theron as a woman, she is just incredibly amazing, and she pretty much tells him, your mother used a little bit of her magic to bring me to life, to keep protected of you, and so we can find your father's armor to use to defeat the Moon King, because now he knows where you are and he's coming for you. So they go on an adventure, only to run into the Beetle, who, because, you know, Kubo's power magic is getting stronger, and he creates these little paper mache origami figures, which was incredibly amazing, by the way, too. That should have been, when they first do it in the opening of the movie, I was like, this could have been a short or something like that, because this just looks amazing, right? And I kind of want to know the rest of the story, too. By the way, Kubo is a storyteller who really could never put up an ending. He just can't. So this whole movie is basically going to be about story and what's every individual character's, what's their individual story and what's their ending to a happy ending, if you will. He creates a origami figure in his dreams of his father, who's I don't know what's the father's name is what they called him. I can't remember what it was, but he creates a little origami figure, and this little origami figure finds the Beetle, and the Beetle ends up taking kind of Kubo and him and stuff, and only to realize Matthew McConaughey voices him. Oh, he lost his memory, but he knows that he was a warrior for his father, and that he was a samurai, so he's bound to, you know, by his duty to protect Kubo and help him. So they go on this adventure to find the three pieces of armor and weaponry that can help him defeat the Moon King, which is the sword, the breastplate, and the helmet. And in the middle of that, that's your plot synopsis, along with a lot of other freaky ass shit. Alright, so let's go ahead and get into this movie now. Let me just fast forward all the way to the end. I don't usually do that, but I gotta say, Leica, you do some of the best credit sequences in film, period. I mean, I'm talking about this movie. I have it, too. I had to look this up because the music, this is one of the first times in a movie that I've noticed, at least, that I can remember, at least, that a movie got better in its music and its score and stuff like that as it went along. And the imagery, because this is a perfect movie that tells you that, oh, yeah, the visual aspects of the movie is telling the story along with it, and I really, really love that aspect of it. But this song in here just had me watching the credits. They do like almost a 2D style animation of showing all the characters and stuff like that with this song, this song playing in the background, which I extremely love, by the way. And they show you, like, all the stuff that they go through, from the big skeleton sword guy with the swords in his head and stuff like that. I mean, and before that, the credit sequence there, too, they had some incredible music playing before that. And then the actual credits show
where they go do all the artistries and stuff like that, and they show you how they put together this giant skeleton, which is like a lot of tedious work, because we all know stop motion animation is a lot of tedious work, and every movement counts on the movement. And but then they get into this whole showing the artistry of like Kubo and his mother and father and stuff like that, and it was really good. I think the message here of the film, pretty much, when it comes to it, reminded me of The Little Prince, where it's and somewhat of Paranorman too in a way, is that, you know, it's a much a deeper story, and it's about family, but it's more so about letting the ones you love go. And it's about letting go with, you know, the people that have passed on and stuff like that. A lot of Little Prince tendencies there, and I was just like, huh. It was really good because everybody knows I love The Little Prince. I gave it a high C. But to get in this movie now, to rewind back now, since I've already jumped to the ending here and stuff of the credit sequence, which I absolutely loved and adored, like I always do with Laika films, even The Box Trolls, which I'm not even that big of a fan of that movie. I enjoy it, but it's one of their weaker ones. But the credit sequence of that looked great too. The voice work in here, fantastic. Everyone does a great job. A lot of people will probably say that, oh, Charlize Theron is kind of playing it one note, but because I remember I was talking with someone after the screener we had, the premiere actually. He's like, did you think Charlize Theron was one note? And I was like, yeah, I think that was supposed to be what her character was about, though. I mean, she may have been one note, but at least to me, what I got, her character was supposed to be one note, which was not really show too much emotion, at least at first, only to discover after when they go get the breastplate that... And there's these monsters guy in it, which is the eye of, I forgot what they call these things, but they're the eye. They show you what you want to, what is true to you or something like that. And they show him that the monkey is his mother. And he comes back and he's just like, mother. And then, you know, I was wondering the same thing. I was like, why didn't she tell him that? And then, you know, the beetle asked her privately, why didn't you tell him that you were his mother? And the monkey pretty much said, if I would have told him, he would have lost me even sooner, probably, because my magic is wearing off with this whole transformation of into this monkey. She transferred pretty much her spirit into the monkey and the charm monkey that it was and stuff. And she's dying. Her magic isn't holding up in it. So, you know, she didn't want him to know, because obviously he'd be losing his mother for a second time. And then later in the film, because I got to say, this movie has some cool-ass action sequences. I'm talking the fight scenes in here looked fantastic. They looked as if they were origami paper mache battles themselves, especially because they opened up the film a little bit. First 5 minutes, they opened up with a paper mache battle. And I got to say, the monkey fighting one of the evil sisters was just fantastic. Even the giant skeleton creature looked gorgeous. But the one action sequence that really looked good, I thought that it was pretty short, but it was probably my favorite. It was when they go to his father's temple to find the helmet. And this fight sequence with her second sister just looked, I don't know if it was just because of the dark clouds and the mystery of the fog and stuff like that, but everything about this just looks absolutely gorgeous. I thought it was one of the best, it's easily one of the best looking films this year, and even got a knockout on best looking Zootopia. Story-wise, probably not so much, but as far as, because, you know, Zootopia obviously did a lot of social commentary. I'll even say it looked better than Jungle Book as well, too. And Jungle Book looked fantastic. It's probably one of the best looking films this year. But Laika probably got you beat on that one, Disney, because this film knocks it out of the park when it comes to this visual storytelling. I will say, one of the negatives I might have, not so much a negative on me, but probably a negative for the general audience, is I don't think that you get enough time spent with the monkey and the beetle, pretty much Charlize Theron and Matthew McConaughey, to generate the emotional residue that you're probably supposed to have when a certain scene happens in this fight scene that I'm talking about. Because in this fight scene, we figure out the auntie, she's laughing. She's like, you two've been together this long, you haven't realized that the beetle is also Kubo's father. They didn't kill him, they just banned him from his land, erased his memory, and sent him on a quest of just looking around and shit like that or whatever. So they pretty much fried his fucking brain. So that sucks. So in this moment, you know, we realize, oh wow, he has both his family members and stuff. And you know, I never got the hint of it, but going back thinking about it, I'm just like, he had a connection with Cubo, and Cubo kind of found a liking to him right off the bat, and they bonded together so quickly and easily. I was like, I didn't think of it at the time because I was just so, I guess, mesmerized by the look of the film and everything else about it that it kind of just went by my head. But I was kind of like, oh, wow. And this moment here, because Monkey's injured and, you know, Beetle is trying to save him only for him to get stabbed in the back. And I was just like, oh, and father died. And then pretty much the auntie, she's about to finish the mother off only for Cubo, I guess, to he kind of stopped. Nah, I wouldn't say that, but he reaches for his magical guitar they use where he plays his storytelling and stuff. And out of nowhere, it looked like his magic got a hell of a lot stronger because his parents died, obviously. And what I love about this scene is it's kind of, in a way, it's almost like that Civil War Black Panther Zemo scene in a way. His parents are dead. They didn't come back. There's nothing from that. He uses his magic to banish the auntie away. But then I like the next scene over that. They didn't linger into that. Basically, what they showed was the town was destroyed, looked like shit, and it just showed Cubo standing there with his head down, and then you know, his magic got even stronger, more stronger, where to the point where he took his father's robes and made almost like beetle wings out of it and flew to where the helmet was. And it just looked gorgeous, man. And then, you know, it was really sorrow at this point, whatever, and sadness, and it was just like, oh, man, that was... Oh. But I think for me, it was fine. I love the fuck out of it. But I think for a general audience, they probably would have wanted that, oh, my mother, father just died and stuff like that, you know, or you know, the spend more time with the, you know, Matthew McConaughey, the Beetle, and the Monkey to even get that emotional residue that, oh, wow, I really like these characters. Because these characters, I mean, they really don't do that much. I mean, the Monkey does more, obviously, but the Beetle, his time in the movie is, it feels short. Honestly, it feels short, even though he's in there for a while, but his time in there feels short, and most of the time he's in there, it's kind of just bantering with the Monkey, only for them to grow a liking towards each other. And you can kind of tell, just like Cubo with the Beetle, the Monkey kind of has like a little bit of chemistry on the side too, where you can see that, oh, these two might be something here. So you feel something, but I think that it could easily fly over your head because of all the other stuff that's going on. So that's one negative I have with the film, and probably my only negative too, because I absolutely love the storytelling format that they did it because it felt like a Japanese fable. Which, if people you don't know, or you probably do know, father is Japanese. That whole side of the family is Japanese, so you know, they believe in the whole samurai culture and stuff like that. They have an armor room for crying out loud at his parents' house and stuff. I've heard these Japanese fables when I was younger, and watching this movie, it felt like I was hearing one of those stories come to life again, and I was just like, wow, they really got that down to a pin technique here. And I was like, it feels just like how they used to tell us the storytelling back in the day. And then, you know, that's when, you know, he gets that final hit, the helmet, and the Moon King comes down, and the Moon King pretty much tells him, you know, hey, let me get your other eye. Pretty much, you don't need to see. You want to be living for eternity, and you want to be immortal like me. Let me take your other eye so you can stop seeing into these pitiful souls of human beings and stuff like that. I was like, holy shit, dude, you got dark as fuck up in this movie. And only for this motherfucker to turn into some giant worm creature and for Cubo to fight him, only to realize that, you know what, this armor and this weapon and stuff, it's kind of holding me back because he's kind of getting his ass whooped. Let's be real. I mean, he's getting some good licks in there and stuff like that, but he's really getting his ass whooped. This dude is throwing his ass around and everything else to go with it. And for him to realize, you know what, fuck this sword and all this stuff. I'm not a warrior. I'm going to go back to what brought me to the game in the first place, which is my magic. Picked up my guitar, and he took a piece of he had a piece of his mother's hair, and obviously he had some of his father's as well. And then he took a piece of his hair. He combined it on his guitar. I don't know what those. I forgot what those things are called. Those Japanese guitars. And he took it and tied it to those strings, and pretty much he fought, you know, his grandfather as him and his mother and his father as well and stuff like that. And it made his magic more. And basically what he did was he cleansed his heart, pretty much. I mean, he brought him back from being this evil Moon King into this kind of what he did to his father or whatever and made his memory loss and everything like that, only for the town to tell him that, you know, you were a great man and stuff like that. You had no memory of this evil thing, and you did such great things around the town. And it was beautiful what they did with the ending, with the whole lamp and the candle, how Kubo's magic lit the candles back up on the ocean to guide the spirits of the soul to the spirit world. And then he did it with his mother and father, and who were standing by them. And the animation looks so goddamn good here. Oh my god. Overall, man, the movie was fantastic to me. You know, it was one of those things where I didn't laugh as much as I thought I was going to be, because usually they have some dark humor, and there's some little bit of humor in here, but I think I was just more fascinated with this fable and just the style that it took of taking the story here. Not for nothing, though, it was my most anticipated film of the year, not just the summer, but of the year, and I think it held up to me. I enjoyed the fuck out of it, and this is a year where I got 2 stop-motion animated films, which I'm very proud of. So I was just like, wait, 2 is better than 1. So I'm hoping people go see this, because, you know, I really want Leica to do well. And plus, this is a fantastic film too. So I'm not going to jip you and just say, oh, you should just go see it to support this. No, this film looks absolutely incredibly amazing. I think you definitely should see this on the big screen. Did not see it in 3D, obviously, at the premiere. So I didn't have that 3D shit, which I'm kind of glad, to be honest, because the movie is relatively dark a lot. And I was like, 3D probably would have fucked this up. Unless the 3D does look better, because I plan on seeing it again. And maybe I'll go see it in 3D to check it out. But I absolutely love the film. I enjoyed it. I'm trying to think if I probably liked it just a little. Because Paranorman is my favorite. I think I liked it just a little bit more than Coraline. I'll probably have to go back and watch Coraline or wait till I get this on Blu-ray to see. I think Paranorman is still my go-to film. I love what they do in Paranorman as far as the story itself. But I gotta say, Kubo, man, I just love this Japanese fable style. It's like right there in the middle. The Coraline, this, and Paranorman, they're kind of like 3 on top of each other. There's something I love about each one even more than the other. And with this one that it has over the other two, even though I don't think this is probably my favorite Leica film, it has that Japanese fable storytelling and the whole samurai battle and stuff. And then it has the action scenes to back it up too as well. The action scenes look incredible and stuff. So obviously, definitely, I mean, for me, come on, this is getting a high C. I enjoyed the fuck out this film. Out of this shitty ass summer, it is finally great to get something that was just like, I was expecting so much, whatever, and to see it so handled pretty damn well, I must say. So yeah, I'm definitely giving this a high C. And just like my man Hacksaw Ridge, just help me get one more Leica film. Help me get one more.
Show off.
My father's fortress. This way.
Claim your birthright, Kubo. Give this story a happy ending.